Hello there, thanks for joining us. It's The Sweet Spot, the Racing Post's weekly golf show with me, Bruce Millington, and him, Steve Palmer. We've got two fantastic tournaments this week. We've got the world's official number one golfer heading the market in Dubai and the world's hottest golfer heading the market in California. We'll see who Steve fancies in just a jiffy. But first, we'll look back to last week and we better start with John Rahm. What a man. Four wins in his last six tournaments. He got the job done. It wasn't a clear-cut win if you backed John Rahm in the American Express at the Kinsey. He did have to sweat, but he ground it out. Very impressive what he's putting together, Steve, this body of work, isn't it?
Absolutely, and I thought that was one of the smoothest intros you've ever done, and it really does hit the nail, it hits the nail on the head, doesn't it? Because who doesn't think John Rahm is world number one at the moment? You know, only the world ranking system. Yeah, they tinkered with the world golf ranking system. And unfortunately, John Rahm's DP World Tour performance is not getting much credit. So, he's pretty angry about not being officially world number one. And if you look at his form figures from his last seven tournaments, 2-1, 4-1, 8-1-1. I think even Rory McIlroy, he's going to get questions this week, Rory McIlroy in Dubai. Who is world number one? John Rahm, I think, is probably the man.
Yeah, God, you sound full of cold again. You sound like you're probably too young for the legendary Tunes advert where the bloke goes up to the ticket office and says, "Sucker Claus, return to Dottingham, please." And then someone gives him a tune and he eats it. And then the next time he goes back and asks it really clearly. But you've got the lurgy again, aren't you? You must be sick of being sick, aren't you?
I am. Yeah, it came on strong after the Abu Dhabi Championship, actually. I had a long drive back from Brighton after the Abu Dhabi Championship and then felt ill ever since. Yeah, maybe I'm going to get hold of some tunes.
Yeah, you should. Give them a go. So Rahm won from Davis Thompson. I thought put up a very dogged attempt to stick with the red-hot Rahm, didn't he? That was a good performance by him. And there were a few other snap in his heels. Interesting round from Xander Schauffele, final round, wasn't it? A week after pulling out with a bad back, he smashed a 61. I mean, that was extraordinary. So it was a really interesting week, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. Davis Thompson, I like that. I like that lad a lot. I think he handled himself well. You know, he was an emotional wreck afterwards. I don't know if you saw his interview. I mean, he was welling up because he got so close. And the incident on 17. Did you see the birdie putt hit the flag stick?
He left the flag in, didn't he? And he bashed it, and it sort of rebounded, didn't it?
And it's very hard to think that wouldn't have gone in with a flag out. Yeah, he was right in the centre of the cup there. He's a former world number one amateur, Davis Thompson. I think he's going to win on the PGA Tour, maybe this year. As for John Rahm, I mean, he addressed that red herring straight away. Do you remember last week we were talking about the outburst he had on the course?
Oh, yes, that's right.
Slagging off the...
criticised last year's tournament as a putting competition, didn't he?
Yeah, but he addressed that straight away and admitted it was just a classic fit of pique that golfers have, a tantrum. He didn't mean it. He loves the tournament, the history of the tournament. And from that moment on, he was dominant. He always looked like he was doing just enough, didn't he, on Sunday? Mm.
But he's still angry about not being official world number one. He's always angry about something, John Rahm, isn't he? Maybe he needs that to drive him on. Some people do, don't they?
He says he's been world number one since August. I mean, he is always angry. You know, he swaggers into his media conference after wins and still looks like he wants to have a fight with somebody. I guess when he's world number one and he's winning every major, he might cool down a bit. But what a run he's on. And he'd be the best back player in this Farmers Insurance Open, I'm sure.
Probably a bad result for the bookmakers, that wasn't it, Steve? Because he was. I mean, I think it went off about 6-1, didn't he? But he'd been sevens at the start of the week, so he was well backed. Over in Abu Dhabi, less well backed, but still gettable, was Victor Perez, who held off a decent field again. Really enjoyable final round. And Perez won. He beat your man Minwoo Lee just about. He had a little bit of a wobble, but he produced a miracle shot on 17, I think, to seal the deal.
I'm glad you enjoyed the final round. Yeah, I found the final round quite challenging. I mean, I was watching it in a room full of crowded relatives, had the iPad on the go. And it was a miracle shot at 17. He's probably about 4-11 to drop a shot from that bunker. And it just came down the slope and went in for birdie. So yeah, a bogey turns into a birdie, and Minwoo watching that unfold on the tee there, and then he went pin chasing it on 17. We were thinking he needed a birdie, and then found the sand and missed a 5-footer for par. So yeah, it was a really close contest, and Minwoo was beaten by a shot. And then he'll look back for all the drop shots. He had eight bogeys last week, Minwoo, I remember round one, he finished round one with a three putt from 30 feet, you know, and that's the difference, you know, over the 72 holes. These, you know, such a game of fine margins, isn't it?
Sorry, I wasn't goading you when I said I enjoyed it. I just, it was an interesting morning's watching. That's all I meant.
Oh, it was certainly
a nice course and everything. You know, I mean, sometimes the result goes for you, sometimes it goes against you, doesn't it? But it was compelling watching.
It went all the way. Yeah, it went all the way. Even on the final hole, Minwoo Lee from 40 yards almost holed out for eagle, which would have meant a playoff. He just narrowly missed. So, it's character building. These things are character building. And, I feel like my character come up several levels from Sunday's events.
Well, that's good then. And what a round by Pod. What a week by Padraig Harrington. He's playing some amazing stuff. He almost won it, didn't he?
Yeah, he's 52 in August. 52 in August and finished fourth. Yeah, he's green, isn't he? I mean, it's just passion, his love for the game, isn't it? You know, you remember during COVID times, you know, he was just spending his whole time playing golf in his back garden and doing instruction videos and that. Yeah, you do well to find someone who loves golf more than porridge.
Yeah, fair play to him. Anyone else catch your eye on either side of the Atlantic last week?
I'd like to talk about Taylor Montgomery, actually, because Taylor Montgomery is a real quandary this week. Yeah, a player we've had a close eye on. He finished 11th in last year's Farmers Insurance Open. So he's proven he can play Torrey Pines. He's a good driver, fantastic short game. But yeah, last fortnight, I've started to sort of question his temperament a little bit. It stands out like a sore thumb that he was pretty dominant on the Korn Ferry Tour, but he never actually won on the Korn Ferry Tour. And in the Sony Open, made a really fast start, faded away. And last week, I don't know if you caught his shank on the 17th. He was only one shot behind at the time on the 17th tee. And he hit them one of the most horrific golf shots I've seen in a long while. I'm just having a little question mark against his temperament now there, Taylor Montgomery.
Okay, should we look ahead?
Yeah, we got two crackers.
We have. And what's the most important thing to state this week? We've got to do some stressing, haven't we?
Yeah, we can't stress this enough, but we have a Wednesday start for the Farmers Insurance Open. A Wednesday start, Saturday finish, which is because there's some high-class gridiron taking place on Sunday, I believe.
It's the semis, basically, what they call the championship game, but it's the Super Bowl semi-finals, basically. Yeah,
yeah, the PGA Tour don't want their product to be hidden by the gridiron.
Well, it makes total sense. I mean, American football is so far and away the biggest deal in America. Nothing else can cope with it. So you're better off rearranging rather than trying to compete with that, I think.
Yeah, I'm happy with the plans.
Okay, excellent. Well, hopefully it gives you a Sunday night off. You can watch the gridiron, can't you? Which
yeah,
are you a fan?
Might bat the Chicago Bears. Who's in the semi-finals?
Oh, you've got Dallas versus Philadelphia, I think.
Cowboys and Eagles. I'd always bet the Cowboys.
And the big one is Cincinnati against Kansas City Chiefs. That's a big
Bengal
one.
Against the Chief. That's a
close contest. I think the Bengals are going all the way this year for what it's worth. But yeah, they're very good. They won against Buffalo on Sunday, and it was an extraordinary spectacle because it was snowing like mad. And I love, there's nothing I like more than a Sunday night flicking between the NFL and the golf. And you know, the golf at lovely sunny La Quinta, and then when they were going to an ad break or Simon Holmes was assessing somebody's swing, you go back to the gridiron and it's snowy in Buffalo. It's brilliant. I do love my Sunday nights doing that. So,
and do you still base it on the name of the club, like against? So you got.
Oh, you used to have this theory that the Eagles, you'd go with the two nicknames and work out who would win in a duel between those,
yes,
wouldn't you?
That's what I was getting at. Yeah, so a cowboy would definitely beat an eagle because you just shoot it, wouldn't it? But a Bengal against a Chief, I suppose you'd back a Bengal, depend on the size of the Bengal.
Well, if this cowboy was on horse, could the eagle not like just come down and peck him? I know he's got a big Stetson on, but
The weaponry of the cowboy would win the day, wouldn't it? But so that's how I used to base my gridiron bets, and that's why I stopped betting on gridiron.
Yeah, it's an interesting system, that one, Steve. I'm not sure it necessarily stand the test of time, but anyway, we're here to tap into a sport you do know something about, which is golf, and we're going to start with the Farmers Insurance because, like I say, it starts at midday on Wednesday. Well, round about midday on Wednesday, get your bets on by Wednesday lunchtime. Here are the leading contenders as far as the market is concerned. John Rahm is 4-1 favourite, not surprisingly given his hot streak, but there's a lot of good ones up against him and need to be right in his game to win this week. Xander Schauffele's 12s, Justin Thomas 14, Tony Finau 14. Morikawa 16, Zalatoris 18, Homer and Day 20, Im 22, and then it's 30-1, your man Taylor Montgomery, and 33 bar. Terrific field and a terrific course. One of the best, Steve. Tell us all about the venue.
I shall. And so Wednesday start. We can't stress that okay. enough.
I think you have stressed it enough now, actually. I tell you when we should re-stress it is when we reiterate the tips, because some people might just fast forward to that. They don't want to bother with the preamble. So we'll stress it again then. But go on.
Okay, I'll drop it for now. Yeah, Torrey Pines South and North, San Diego, California, IA. So we have a round at the South and a round at the North over the first 2 days. Then the Cup Makers play two rounds at the South. The South is a beast, 7,765 yards, par 72. The North is 7,258 yards, par 72. Almost two shots easier than the South. 156 players going to post, as well as all that farmers form. Torrey Pines South also hosted the 2008 and 2021 US Opens, both fantastic tournaments. Tiger Woods winning on a broken leg. John Rahm, late rattle to win that one. So, yeah, if you look at the honours board, lots of big hitters on there. Tiger's got 8 wins here. Phil Mickelson, 3. John Daly, Davis Love, Bubba Watson. So, yeah, big hitting is an advantage here. The weather forecast, chilly mornings, pleasant afternoons. Temperatures peaking at 20 C.
Very nice indeed. And before we get the tips, what can we expect the cameras, particularly from the Goodyear blimp, to home in on away from the course? Because there's some sort of iconic stuff going on, isn't there, over out to sea.
Yeah. I mean, we might get a marine layer early doors, mightn't we? And then, yeah. Do we see some whales?
Is this we should see whales. I was thinking whales, kite surfers. Actually, that's about it. Whales.
Yeah, there's a lot goes on. Yeah,
but it's a beautiful, beautiful course. It's another one on our list for when we crack it. We will go and play Torrey Pines, okay?
Certainly.
Righty-ho, how many selections?
I have 3 selections for this.
Okay, fire away with your strongest recommendation.
It's the 14-1 about Tony Finau, who has taken his game to a new level in the last 6 months. 3 PGA Tour victories in the last 6 months. More accurate than ever. Got a putting stroke that's effective now. Look at his putting stats. It's jaw-dropping how improved he's become. And he's won those 3 tournaments by a combined...
I thought you were going to give me the stats and I was going to see if my jaw dropped. But anyway.
Oh, well. Yeah. I mean, Mike, look at my jaw right now as I studied that.
Oh, yeah.
See?
Yeah.
I couldn't control that. A total of 12 shots is the combined total, the winning margin of those 3 tournaments. He's not just won those tournaments. He's dominated those tournaments. Yeah, you got a 33-year-old at the peak of his powers now. He's so assured, so calm. He's a 2-time Ryder Cupper. He's a 2-time President's Cupper. He's a leaderboard regular in majors. I think he's going to make a big impact in this year's majors. Is he scared of John Rahm this week? He's not. Finau will be loving the way all the focus is on Rahm. Yeah, Rahm's going to have a lot to do. It's a short turnaround, isn't it? So he's got all his duties to finish off as Amex champion, and then he's going to arrive at Torrey Pines, centre of attention. Yeah, it's going to be a media scrum. They want to talk about official world rankings. They want to talk about this Tiger Woods style streak. They want to talk about, I think he got married at Torrey Pines, didn't he? He certainly got engaged at Torrey Pines. I can't remember. He's a regular holiday maker there. But basically, Rahm is the focus of all attention. And Finau can just go quietly about his business at a course he absolutely loves. Look at this. 8 times in the Farmers. Form figures 24, 18, 4, 6, 13, 6, 2 missed cut. Oh. Last year he missed the cut for his first flop at the Farmers. But he was in a spell of bad form at the start of last year. He'd missed 3 cuts in 4 events. Normal service will resume this week. Got a great record in California generally. I think he's the man that's gonna stop Rahm this week. He's certainly better value, I think. 14-1 Finau or 4-1 Rahm.
Okay, and have you seen many extra places?
Yeah. There's 10. There's 10 again. There's 10 again with Coral and Ladbrokes. Okay. Exactly.
Yeah. I think Finau, although he's found the key to winning regularly, he's still someone you're more comfortable with the each way safety net, aren't you?
I think I used to go into battle win only. Yeah, I used to be a win-only cavalier, didn't I? And yeah, I slowly but surely realised how mad that was. I mean, the Minwoo Lee Abu Dhabi Championship, if I was on win-only last week with Minwoo Lee, it would have been so difficult to get over. And, you know, to have that each way back up is, yeah, I would encourage every golf bet you have to be each way.
Well, I'm not sure about that, Sue, because I'm going to think it depends what the price is and it depends how much you're having on. I mean, I just had a small win-only bet on Minwoo, and I was quite happy not to. It doesn't matter. It, in the end, if you stake sensibly, it doesn't matter, does it?
Well, that's true. That is true.
Okay, so main fancy is Tony Finau. You've got 2 others, and who are they here?
It's Max Homer as your next best at 20-1. He's been well back. I still think 20-1's worthwhile. Another one with a magnificent record in California. He's a California man. Three of his five PGA Tour victories have come in the Golden State. He won the Fortinet Championship in California in September. Following week, he was brilliant on his President's Cup debut. 4 points from four matches. A couple of those wins, he was paired with Tony Finau. And yeah, you could argue that these are the two most improved players on the circuit. Homer was ninth in the 2020 Farmers, 18th in 2021. Missed the cut by a shot last year, but he returns with so much more self-belief. He's a 32-year-old. He's enjoying life as a new father. Magnificent all-round game, you know, including driving distance. We talked about the importance of driving distance at Torrey Pines. You know, he's a sneaky long driver now, Max Homer. Really gets it out there. And third place in the Century Tournament Champions. Perfect cobweb blower. You know, he's rusty at the start of that week. He was rusty and unlucky at the start of that week. I don't know if you saw his shot at 17 in round two. They hit the sprinkler head and went flying into the bushes. It was a great shot. And then it hit the sprinkler head by the green, went backwards into the bushes. So he was off to a horror start in the Century. But then 63-66 at the weekend, a 17 under par weekend to haul him up to third place. So, yeah, what a player Max Homer has become. I think Finau and Homer are the two biggest dangers to Jon Rahm.
Homer seems to be a player, Steve, who's probably still a little bit underrated by the general public, but less so by the bookmakers. And I think it's really interesting that you've picked two guys there who, one of the main things that stick out from when you're making your case is that they've been winning so much lately, haven't they? And you look at someone like Justin Thomas or Schofield, they don't seem to be such regular winners. And yet, because they've got a higher profile, there's shorter prices.
Good point. Thanks. Yeah. There's a lot of silverware, a lot of recent silverware between those two, isn't there? That's for sure. Yeah,
absolutely. There's a lot of recent mantelpiece clearing, like you'd say, wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, they've probably both bought much bigger mantelpieces than they have before. Yeah, I'm sure they've upsized their properties.
Absolutely. We've got one more tip, and that is?
It's Taylor Pendrith at 70-1 now. The Canadian powerhouse, well-suited to Torrey Pines, one of the longest drivers on the circuit. He's got that power to muscle out of the juicy rough. We've got juicy rough at the south this week. He's had one go at the Farmers, finished 16th, four under par rounds. And he's tasted the heat of battle on the PGA Tour now. He was fifth in the 2021 Bermuda Championship and had a good winning chance in that and finished fifth. He was second behind Tony Finau in last year's Rocket Mortgage Classic. He was 13th in the Players Championship last year, eighth in the BMW Championship FedEx Cup playoff event. So yeah, he's getting much more comfortable being a PGA Tour contender. And he made his President's Cup debut. Yeah, Trevor Immelman took a gamble on him, give him a wild card pick. He didn't disgrace himself. He had a couple of narrow early defeats with weak partners. Then he ran into the Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas Dream Team on the Saturday. Then he had Finau in the singles. So he got a really bad draw all week. But he could take positives from that. He didn't look out of place. He's got long game class as Pendrith. And I think that's the key to success this week.
Nice one. When you saw the market and you looked at Rahm, did you think to yourself, he's tempting or no way? Or what was the thought process with the Fav here?
He's the most tempting favourite this week. I'd certainly say that. He's a bigger price than Rory McIlroy in Dubai. And I was tempted. I'm getting fed up of opposing Rahm on value grounds. He was a winning favourite in the Century. He's a winning favourite last week. And he's obviously got, we must discuss his Farmers record. His maiden PGA Tour win came on in this event. 2017, and he won the US Open there in 2021. So I just prefer 14-1 Finau than 4-1 Rahm. I'm certainly not going to tell people not to be backing Jon Rahm. He'll be so popular this week. And I've been in this game a long time, as you well know. You almost see these ones that are just too obvious. Like the player knows he's expected to win, and the funny things can happen in the human brain. And he may even be a bit complacent. He may even be a bit complacent. It sounds crazy to say, but
I don't know about that. He's such a fired up character. I can't see complacency coming in. Maybe, I mean, until his mantelpiece is like four tiered and absolutely got every single trophy on him, I just think he's got that fire in his belly. It won't go out.
No. I think he's obviously the most likely winner, but 4-1, I can resist.
When you tell people you've never met, I mean, you went to a big family gathering at the weekend, they all know. Or how often do you have to tell people what you do for the first time? And they're like, what? You're a golf tipster? Wow, that's mad.
Yeah, I've been going at it for so long now that I don't often have to answer that question. But yeah, I mean,
And you're a hermit, so you don't meet that many people, do you?
It's true. But yeah, a tight tussle like the Abu Dhabi Championship is better watched alone, really. And yeah, I was in such a crowded room on Sunday. Yeah, I had relatives everywhere. Yeah, cousins, young cousins coming out and saying, come and play, Uncle Steve. Come and play, Uncle Steve. And I, Victor Perez is holding the bunker shot, which has, yeah, dramatic consequences for me. And yeah, it's just this funny old game I'm in. But as I say, yeah, character building.
Absolutely. Anyone else you want to mention? I was saying about Thomas and Schauffele not winning that much. I suppose I'll probably live to rue that on next week's show when they finish 1-2. Is that a possibility?
Well, it'd be remiss of us not to mention that very rare bird indeed that Xander Schauffele got last week. He got an albatross last week. Did you see that shot? He admitted he pushed it. He didn't mean to take that such an aggressive line. But he allayed a lot of the fitness concerns last week. You know, in his pre-tournament media conference, he was talking about how sore his back is. And, I had very, very low expectations of him last week. But, he's commending his team for the work they've done on his back. But I'd still be very wary of backing him. He's second favourite now. He's been backed in the early majors, 12-1 second favourite. I can't be backing anyone who's not 100% certain to last the course. And you can't say that about Schauffele. And his farmer's record is manure. He used to miss the cut every week. He's a San Diego man, so he should do well in Swan. But his early form at Torrey Pines is poor. And Justin Thomas has just thrown a few stinkers in lately, hasn't he? 40th in the CJ Cup, 25th in the Century. He's never won a PGA Tour event in California, so I think you're right to be ignoring them, really.
Okay, excellent. By the way, did anyone, when he hit that albatross, did anyone call it a double eagle?
Yeah.
Criminal. Why do they do that?
And in the interview afterwards,
everything about that is absolute, to use your expression, manure. Okay, because it's not a double eagle. An eagle is worth two shots against par. So a double eagle should be worth four. So I'm not going to swear, but it's nonsense. How can it be called a double eagle?
I think you've got every right to be angry about that.
I'm very angry about that. And I'll tell you what else gets my goat, Steve. People who call the water the penalty area. Oh, my God. Okay. Why do you call it the penalty area, not the water?
Or the drink
or the lake, or they call it the hazard. It's a pond or a lake or a stream or a river.
I like to call it the H2O. Is that acceptable?
Yeah, that's all right. That's all right. But I mean, you don't walk along a river and go, look at that lovely penalty area. It's just drives me mad that I've got
All right. Well, I'll give you a moment to calm down, because there's one player we must also mention before we move on, and that's Colin Morikawa. So you worry about that. Colin Morikawa, 16-1 Colin Morikawa. I mean, come on, that's quite tempting, isn't it? 69 holes of that century. He was absolutely amazing. He had three bad holes. This is a ball-striking colossus who appears to have solved his putting problems. Home state gig, fourth in the 2021 US Open. So if I was having four, one of the main reasons I didn't have four is because I didn't want to shout the four at the start of this broadcast.
You can't base your staking plan on your larynx.
I'm only joking. I'm far too professional for that. But if I was going to have four, it would definitely be Morikawa.
All right. God, you've gone very calm all of a sudden. You're trying to just bring me back down after my illogical rant. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. No, it wasn't illogical. No, I'm as angry as you about it. But I just think, at some point we have to move on, don't we?
And also, really, does it matter what commentators say? I need to chill out and get my rebalance my priorities. Right, then, let's move across to the Dubai Desert Classic. And that starts early on Thursday, so you need to get your bets on them by Wednesday. And obviously, if you're doing doubles, you need to get those on by late Wednesday morning. Here are some guide prices. Rory McIlroy, I'm seeing 16-5, which is a shade over 3-1. And then Tyrrell Hatton, 12-1. Tommy Fleetwood, 18-1. Shane Lowry, 18-1. Minwoo Lee, 22-1. I'm going to go Robert McIntyre. I don't know him. 25-1. Victor Perez, 28-1. Lucas Herbert, 28-1. And then it's 30. Francesco Molinari, who's having something of a resurgence. 30, the Super Pole. Adrian Maronk, 35 bar. Dubai Desert Classic, always one of the highlights of the golfing winter, Steve. Where does it take place? What kind of track is it? And that's about, well, Anything else you want to say?
No further questions, Your Honour. Emirates Golf Club, Dubai, United Arab Emirates, 7,428 yards, par 72, four par fives, two drivable par fours. A field of 132 going to post. It's hosted since the old King died, apart from 1999 and 2000. A low-scoring track unless the wind blows. Flat, straightforward greens. But we've got a little bit of weather this week. There's actually some rain in the forecast for Thursday afternoon. Heavy rain is forecast for Thursday afternoon. It is a rarity in these parts. And moderate breezes throughout.
Okay, interesting. Right then, how many selections have you got for this one, Steve?
Four!
Oh, I hope you don't pay too heavy a price for that. How are you feeling? Do you need a swig of the Barocca?
Yeah, I'll have a little swig.
Okay. Right then. Yeah, I get the impression from what you said earlier, when you said Rahm's the better value favourite of the two, that you're not going to be... well, it's obvious you're not going to be tipping Rory McIlroy. If I said, what's your number one selection, Steve? And you said, oh, Rory McIlroy, then that would be very...
You'd be confused. You'd be dazed and confused.
So it's not him. So who is it?
The number one choice is Tyrrell Hatton at 12-1, who did very well last week on a course that he hates. Yeah, this is a man that gets very easily agitated. It's always going to be difficult for him.
I can't stand people like that. Can you get very easily agitated?
Exactly, yeah. It was going to be difficult for him to stay calm, given his dislike for the venue. I mean, he played in it because it was a Rolex Series event. We were saying, well, why'd you turn up? I mean, you know, it's $9 million Rolex Series event. You know, I think you can handle your dislike for the course. I understand why he played in it. But he said he wanted a bomb to drop on the 18th hole last year. And then Tim Barter, old Barty, he interviewed him during round one last week. And it was very awkward because he couldn't disguise his dislike for the venue. You know, and Barty dropped him in it as well, asked him what his wife got him for... Do you see that one? It's quite funny.
No, I didn't.
He asked, Hatton what he got his wife got him for Christmas, and he just couldn't remember. And obviously, he said that was going to put him in the doghouse with his wife because he couldn't remember what his wife got.
That's
him for
random,
Christmas.
Isn't it? So yeah. Normally they're like, so, you know, good start, Tyrrell, one birdie through four, you're hitting it well. What's the approach for the rest of the round? That's the kind of question they ask. And then all of a sudden, within all that sort of standard golf questions, he said, oh, what did the wife get you for Christmas?
Yeah. Barty does that occasionally. He's a brilliant interviewer. I love Barty.
I love Barty. Yeah. So, I mean, I'll never forget the Barty interview with Blandy when he won at Barty. I had tears running down my cheeks there.
Yeah, that was the sporting highlight of the millennium, wasn't it? Yeah, definitely. But he's they had some great banter, and Hatton went away roaring with laughter of all things. Oh, so cool. So Barty relaxed. But the thing is, during that round one, Hatton made 18 consecutive pars. You know, he was bubbling over with frustration. He was missing putts, and there was huge potential for Hatton to lose his head there. And I thought, oh, he's going to lose his head 18 consecutive pars. He's going to miss the cut. But 67 on Friday, 71 on Saturday, 65 on Sunday, and he was level par through 10 holes of that 65. Look at you smirking.
I just imagine him sort of coming off at 18 and running up to Barty and grabbing the microphone, going, aftershave, all right? That's what she got me. I remembered it.
He was a frustrated figure. Barty bottled the post-round interview. But he should have interviewed him on Sunday because a 65 when he was level par through 10 holes. So look at this for his final few holes. Birdie, birdie, hole in one eagle. Par, par, birdie, birdie, birdie. He was home in 29 shots. So he found his A game in spectacular fashion, hauled his way up to seventh place. Now he heads to a course that he likes much better. And there'll be a determination about Hatton. He hasn't won a tournament for exactly 2 years. He's too good to keep quiet for much longer. He ended last year strongly, 11th in the Open, 8th in the Wyndham, 8th in the Italian Open, 7th in the Dunhill Links, 2nd in the DP World Tour Championship in Dubai. And he started this year well. He was a 5-4 winner against Antoine Rosa in the Hero Cup singles. And then that great finish at Yas Links last week. So while the Desert Classic favourite this week is making his first start of the year, Hatton is nicely grooved. Two tournaments in and his Emirates form figures just to close. His last six visits to the Emirates, 8-3-3, 38-22-4. He's twice finished second in the DP World Tour Championship in Dubai, and his last win came in the United Arab Emirates Abu Dhabi Championship.
Nice. What a strong case you make for Tyrrell Hatton, Steve. Yeah, compelling, I would say. Okay, we've got three other selections. Who's the main danger to Tyrrell Hatton, would you say?
It's his good pal who was in a very amusing little clip last week.
Yes, the thing where they were talking about marking the ball, writing on their golf balls.
Yeah, it's good, wasn't it?
Yeah, I must say, I tell you, European Tour social media is excellent, isn't it? Really, they've obviously got someone who's very got great ingenuity and flair, and they do some fantastic stuff. I really enjoyed that. It was good.
Me too. And that's when you warm to Tyrrell Hatton, isn't it? Because he's probably the star in those. You know, he plays.
Yeah, very good.
Plays to this character of being, you know, raging and all the time. And so he was very good in that with Tommy Fleetwood, who went up to him and said, "Hello, Tyrrell." And it was good banter. But Tommy Fleetwood, 18-1 Tommy Fleetwood is a surprisingly big prize for me because he's had the same schedule as Hatton, you know, Hero Cup, Abu Dhabi Championship, two excellent sharpeners for the Desert Classic. Fleetwood has the added advantage of being a Dubai resident now. He moved his family to Dubai last year. He'd be able to spend some time at his home between tournaments. And his knowledge of the Emirates Golf Club is obviously vast. I think he does most of his practice at the Earth Course, but he will have had a few spins at the Emirates to get ready for the Desert Classic. And obviously he's got loads of experience there from the actual tournament. 10th in 2013, 6th in 2018, a top 20 finisher in his last five Emirates starts. He was second in the 2019 DP World Tour Championship. He's twice won Abu Dhabi Championship. And he won his final three matches of that Hero Cup. You know, he had a comfortable singles win over Thomas Peters. It was an impressive victory that, and a good final round at Yas Link. So the Nedbank champion Tommy Fleetwood, massive runner at 18-1.
Ah, interesting. Two more.
The third one is our old friend Adrian Maronk. Oh. Adrian Maronk at 30-1, who hold the winning putt in the Hero Cup. Beat Callum Shinquin in the singles. You know, great things are happening to Adrian Maronk. He won the Irish Open in July. He won the Australian Open last month. He was 10th in the Abu Dhabi Championship last week. And Maronk's Desert Classic debut 12 months ago was a real eye-catcher because he came into the week off a withdrawal in the Abu Dhabi Championship, tested positive for COVID-19. Next time out, bounced back from that with fourth place at the Emirates. Victor Hovland, Rory McIlroy, Richard Blandy-Bland, the only three players to beat him on his Emirates debut. It's a driver's track, and that rain in the forecast makes it even more so this week. So Maronk's driving has been spectacular lately. I think he has to be in the staking plan.
Nice one. And finally.
And finally, Nicolai Hogger. 55-1 this week. Narrowly failed to place for us last week in Abu Dhabi. He's one shot shy of the places. Finished 10th. And that came despite a really poor week on the greens. So many short putts slipped by. His long game is in fantastic fettle. He hit some spectacular shots last week. It was a continuation of the form he showed in the Hero Cup. Yeah, he was joint top scorer in the Hero Cup. The Yas Link's greens fooled him a bit last week. But the greens at the Emirates, much flatter, much more straightforward. I think Hoggard will take his chances this time. His last DP World Tour victory came in the United Arab Emirates, the Ras Al Khaimah Championship, and he was fourth in his last start in the DP World Tour Championship. I couldn't believe his brother opened up a shorter price than him this week. You know, Rasmus is just returning from injury. Nicolai has got his long game in great shape.
Okay, so what don't you like about the Fav?
Burlington Bertie, for starters. I mean, 100-30 Burlington Bertie. First start of the year against the likes of Hatton and Fleetwood, who, you know, are nicely tuned in. I think, like Rahm, he's going to have a lot of difficult questions in the media conference. You know, this world ranking is going to be questioned. And there's lots of live players playing this week. You know, his old muckers, Westwood, Poulter, all the dirty livers come into town. So that question will be raised again. And it's a breezy week. You know, I never like backing McIlroy. You know, I'm never too keen. It's an unsettled weather forecast. You know, if you're going to back McIlroy, maybe wait until the halfway stage, because it's an unsettled weather forecast. Will he be out in that heavy rain on Thursday? The draw could play a part. So when you factor that all in, Burlington Bertie's not for me.
Would you like your tips to be drawn Thursday morning, do you think, or Thursday afternoon?
Thursday morning, the rain would be less severe, according to my sources. So, yeah, I would like them to be out early on Thursday, yeah.
Oh, you'd be gutted if you're heading to Dubai for a bit of winter sunshine, wouldn't you? And find it rains over there. I've been there when it rains over there, actually. It's quite depressing.
I suppose it's to be quite...
You want the sunshine, don't you?
Yeah, still be quite warm. But, yeah, there's a 97% chance of heavy rain on Thursday afternoon.
I suppose they could create a stoppage, couldn't it? You never know, do you?
Well, I suppose you can't be certain of anything these days.
You can't. No, that's true. You've got to expect the unexpected. Okay, so you're going to shy away from both favourites. Anyone else you want to mention?
Well, Minwoo Lee's got every chance. I mean, he's obviously in great order. The breezy forecast is suitable for him. It's just lack of Emirates experience. He's had two competitive rounds. They're 75-75. So, you know, maybe he needs a little bit more knowledge of the Emirates. But, yeah, Minwoo Lee is going places. Some of his driving last week, you know, he's added length. He's hitting it longer this year. He's a monstrous, monstrous golfer whatever that means.
Let's reiterate. Who are your three chances for the Farmers Insurance Open?
Tony Finau, Max Homer, Taylor Pendrith.
And we've got four for the Dubai Desert Classic.
Tyrrell Hatton, Tommy Fleetwood, Adrian Moronk, and Nikolai Ogga.
And what must people not forget this week?
It's a Wednesday start, funnily enough, in the Farmers Insurance Open. So get your bets on early.
Yeah, Wednesday. Yeah, if you're done by noon on Wednesday, you'll be all right, won't you?
I think they'll have a little bit longer than that.
It'll be longer than that, actually, because it's eight hours difference. So they'll probably actually tee off at kind of four or five o'clock, something like that.
4:30 p.m. if you put
But the point is, if you're a little bit late, all those juicy extra places, if you want to bet each way, tend to go back to something slightly less appealing. So
there's no excuse for being late now. I mean, unless you've got a really serious engagement tonight, you should be backing them tonight, shouldn't you?
Okay, fair enough. And don't forget, we'd love to know who you fancy. Hit that thumbs up button and let us know in the comments section who you think will win this week. None of you got it last week, so better luck this time. Steve, any other news? Anything else exciting or daunting you in life?
Well, I'm due to be touring a brewery on Thursday. I've successfully organised a piss up in a brewery.
Oh, wow.
So, I'm hoping to get fit for that. Palmer's Brewery. Well, I don't know. I've never been on a tour of a brewery.
Are you the organiser?
No, my friend Keith won it in a raffle, and it was a tour for two. So he's kindly chosen me as his accomplice for this crime.
What's he called? No, what's it called? It's called Keith.
This is the fascinating thing. It's called Palmer's Brewery. It's been around since the 1700s. Palmer's Brewery in Bridport. So yeah, I think that if they find out my surname on the tour, they'll probably get a bit twitchy, thinking that I'm, you know, relative of the owners or something.
And
quite interesting. But yeah, I don't know what it entails, but I assume that we'll be sampling the products.
I should imagine it entails ending up with you vomiting in the car park. But how are you going to get back from Bridport? You can't drive to a brewery tasting session, can you?
No,
it's a bus.
The bus service is poor as well. No, I think it's going to be some sort of taxi cab. It's not an easy place to get back to.
Oh, that sounds good.
Get back from. Sorry. So I'm looking forward to that. I just need to get the fitness in shape. Piss up in the brewery. Who would have thought it?
Fantastic. All right, then, mate. Fantastic stuff. We are back next Tuesday, looking ahead to the Pebble Beach Pro-Am and the Ras Al Khaimah Championship. In the meantime, good luck with all your golf bets. Get well soon, Steve, and we'll see you next Tuesday for another sweet spot.
Wednesday start.